Did you see anything on the news about like the great Morgan Hill fucking internet outage?
No, I did not. Tell me about it.
There was some construction crew like cut into like a fiber optic cable, and it just immediately cut off like cable, phones, and internet for all of Morgan Hill.
Nice.
Starting at like 10 in the morning until 10 that night.
When was this?
This was like 3 days ago.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I was staying home that day, and I didn't have any. I had done all my work, and everything was clean. I'd done a bunch of chores the day before, and I was just settling in to just play Hitman. And
I was about to say, and your always online Hitman profile went out the window.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking ridiculous. I was like, because whenever something like that is in a game, people complain like, well, you know, in some parts of the world, people don't have stable connections. I'm like, yeah, that really sucks for them, and I really empathize, but my connection's fine. So, like, you know, it's not a problem. And then this happened on the one day where I, like, wanted to just stay home and play Hitman. I couldn't believe it. And so I made my phone a hotspot. I was like, how much data could it use just to, like, to update with their servers?
Uh-oh.
By the end of the day, I played like 5 hours. I played a lot of Hitman, and it was like 300 megabytes, which isn't a ton, but it's like a lot more than I think is acceptable for, like, you know, for just like playing a game.
Yeah, for playing a game that you own that's offline, that's single player. Yeah, that sucks. We had an internet outage when the rain hit. Yeah. And there's a bunch of sandbags out in front of my house right now because that was their solution, was to like sump pump the water out of the like the wiring and then just pile sandbags because there isn't a solution. Basically, they couldn't have just built it correctly in the first place.
Wow. Yep. But I was maybe I already told this to you, but when the storm was a coming and the last time we had high winds, I was like preparing for everything to turn off. And my grandparents, like, you should just plug your stuff in. I know they don't use your cell phones, but just in case. And they're like, why? And I was like, well, because, you know, something's going to hit a power line. We're going to lose power. They were like, no, all the cables are buried out here. I'm like, oh, so just like the logical thing to do. They actually did here because I'm so used to being in fucking, you know, hometown, you know, where you're at, where like every time there's a breeze, the power and the internet goes out.
You want to jump into it? Is it time to talk about X Reader, the fan fiction reading and appreciation podcast?
That's right. And which it is. What are we going to do today? Because I was like, Michael told me which ones we had to do, and I couldn't remember.
Well, that's fine. Because I changed my mind anyway. So
okay,
it's a good thing that you weren't necessarily prepared. Because originally we had some different ideas. We had a whole list of things we wanted to do for season 3, for the big 2021. Year for X Reader, but I did, you know, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what's really good? People really seem to be listening a lot to the Coco the Gorilla episode.
That's a good one, so
it's a good one, you know, no complaints here. But it seems to be one that garners the most attention just in terms of listens. So I was like, you know what we need to do? We've already done two good fan fictions for season 3, you know. Why
wait
any
longer?
We become
a Coco podcast.
Yeah, from now on, we're doing only gorilla-themed content.
Not even that, more narrow, just Coco. Just Coco news.
Just Coco. Every episode, we cover a chapter of Coco's life.
We don't want to lose our whole audience. I mean, it's like when, you know, like a Skyrim YouTuber or whatever makes a video about, like, Dragon's Dogma or something, and their whole audience just leaves, you know? Tanks their metrics.
Takes their views back. That's the worst thing. Unview the videos.
So that's what we're announcing this episode is from now on. It's Coco on Team Coco.
Yeah, Team Coco. Well, that's already taken.
No, we're gonna. Well, it's spelled differently.
Right? Oh, with the K.
Yeah.
I was gonna say we call our fans the Coco Nuts.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. Hi, Tony. Are you the first Coco Nut? That's my dog. He loves the show.
Tony's a coconut.
Yeah.
He's a little coconut. No, but what we're going to do is I'm saying we're doing a variety episode inspired by the Coco episode. But
all right.
Because I didn't want to, like I said, didn't want to alienate our audience, we're going to start off with something a little familiar. And some of these things I'm going to read, some of these things you're going to read. So the first thing is something I'd like you to read, and I'm going to send it in the chat right now.
Excellent.
So not really a spoiler, but Coco is a gorilla, and we read about her life and some specific anatomical fascinations she had.
It was really tasteful. It was really intimate. We covered some, you know, some of the most important, you know, events in Coco's life.
Yeah. So today we're going to be opening with a different primate. This is about a orangutan named Ken Allen. And I've highlighted a section and I've sent it to you. Whenever you're ready, you can read about Ken Allen.
I wish I knew we were going to do this because do you have the chimp on there? The one that ate the lady's face?
No, I didn't.
Oh, because that chimp has an amazing Wikipedia page. And with a really funny picture of it, like in a sweater, where he's so obese.
Well, maybe that'll be for our next variety episode. We'll start each one with a primate-themed topic.
And she, like, let him get drunk and gave him fucking, like, Valium. Okay. But we'll start here with Ken. Alrighty. Escapes. We jump straight to the escape section of Ken the Orangutan's Wikipedia page. During his 1985 escapes, that's plural.
That's plural. He escaped multiple times.
First on June 13th, again on July 29th, and finally on August 13th. Dude, just one after another, like clockwork. Dude, fucking get this guy in a cage. Ken Allen would peacefully stroll around the zoo looking at other animals. Ken never acted aggressively or violently towards zoo patrons or animals. That's so sweet. Please tell me this doesn't end in him fucking bashing someone over the head with a garbage can.
No, he just wanted to see. He wanted to see what life was like on the other side of the exhibit.
Jordan. He just wanted to go see the other animals. He's like, he didn't even feel like he was in the zoo. He's like, I'm just in my apartment. Happens to be at the zoo. I want to go see the exhibits.
He wants to be where the people are. See the animals. Feed them candy.
This is like a sanitized version of events. You know, he was out like tipping. It is the 80s. He's out tipping over ashtrays, eating cigarette butts and fucking garbage out of the trash cans and you know,
hanging upside down, smoking cigars, doing that thing that fucking Mr. Hyde does in Van Helsing.
Extraordinary Gentleman. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Puts the cigar out on his tongue and then chews it up.
Yeah.
We're both thinking the same thing.
Zookeepers were initially stumped over how Ken Allen had managed to escape. I like how they gave him two names, too. He's Ken Allen.
He's Ken Allen.
He's not just Ken the fucking orangutan.
Yeah.
Had managed to escape. Zoo staff began surveillance of his enclosure to try to catch him in the act, only to find that Ken Allen seemed to be aware that he was being watched. It's getting spooky. What if he's haunted? He's haunted by two ghosts, Ken and Allen. Gay lovers who died in a parachuting accident in Borneo. This forced zookeepers to go undercover, posing as tourists to learn Ken Allen's escape route. But the ape was not fooled.
Okay, so to break down what's happening here, the orangutan was so smart that not only could they not stop him from escaping, but he knew when they were watching them through cameras, and when they went undercover as tourists, he would still recognize them and didn't misbehave while they were watching.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, it was probably pretty obvious. They weren't giving it enough credit, you know? If they tried harder, it might have worked, but they, you know, they underestimated his powers of observation.
Yeah, his fucking 900 IQ strategy.
What type of orangutan was he? He wasn't one of those crested ones, was he?
That's what I'm imagining, but it doesn't... it probably says in the article, but I didn't... Right. Take note of that part.
I was imagining one of the long, gangly, kind of, you know, more fun. The crested ones kind of spook me. They kind of creep me out.
Yeah. But considering how smart he is, I always imagine the ones with the crest to be, like, very intelligent. Yeah. They look wise.
Because they're fat and they got those tiny little eyes.
Yeah.
Moreover, other orangutans began following Ken Allen's lead, escaping from their enclosure. Zoo officials eventually... And then someone fucking put a little annotation on here. When? Okay, teacher. Okay, fucking. I don't know why, but that's so funny. Most of the time,
so petty.
Yeah, when they just say like sick or whatever, it's like fine. But this one's when.
Yeah, prove it, bitch.
Zoo officials eventually hired experienced rock climbers to find every finger, toe, and foothold within the enclosure, spending $40,000 to eliminate the identified holds. Time Magazine in 2011 listed Ken Allen's story as one of the top 11 zoo escapes. Holy shit, I need to track down this article.
Okay,
this 2011 fucking Time Magazine.
Again, the ending of this just, it escalates. It's, so they had to hire professionals to shore up the exhibit. Ended up costing the zoo $40,000, which I imagine probably is a lot for a zoo. But in addition to that, He makes the top 11 escapes. What are the other escapes?
Yeah, that's, I mean, there must be a whole Wikipedia article that's just like animal escapes. Can we do that? Yeah. Can we just read those?
That could be our next episode. We'll just do an animal escapes episode.
Yeah, we'll just read the Wikipedia animal escapes. Wikipedia has a lot of great lists.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be 100% down for that. I'll add that to our list.
There's a good animal attack one. Like exotic pet attack one. That's, I think, where I found that ape who ate the woman's face.
Well, wasn't there an article that we read, this was way back, this was in high school, where we were reading about bear attacks, and it was a list of like confirmed bear attacks.
They like went
separated.
Back to like the territories. They went back to like fucking
before
like
it was
the
like
1700s.
Yeah. And it was like, it was really sad because before like the before like in not industrialization but before like
Florida railroads
like, major like cities were like things and people stopped living rurally most of the time, something like, I think if you broke down the list, it was something like 85-90% of the fatal attacks by bears were on people on like plots of land that they had named after themselves because they were the first settlers there. So it would be like, you know, John Morrison killed on Morrison Ranch by a fucking grizzly bear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, damn. That
sucks. I remember
us
reading that article or that page, because by the end of it, I was like, holy shit, we got to get rid of the bears.
Yeah, these bears are dangerous.
But it's because we killed all the good bears, you know, because you look up like a list. There's only like, there's lots of different fucking like color morphs or whatever, but there's really only like 10 different types of bears. Not a lot of bears, you know.
We
killed all the friendly ones.
The most vicious ones. Yeah.
Everyone that was nice enough to not, you know, maul us, you know, didn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah. We tried to capture one for study, but all that was left was, you know, a smashed cage and a note that says Ken Allen helped me escape.
Yeah. We're going to the lion exhibit next. Yeah. Don't follow us.
So yeah. If I were to get what's your take? Are you more of a Coco person or a Ken Allen fan?
I mean, Ken seems like such a gentle goof. He's like a Mr. Magoo, you know. In my mind, he's just like wandering out of his cage. It's not even really like a deliberate, he doesn't feel trapped. He leaves when he wants to, you know.
Yeah,
he doesn't even realize that they're trying to keep him there. Which is really sweet. I mean, Coco was a you know, dragged into the mountains and experimented upon, so like
no, she wasn't
to a secret compound.
Yeah. They put the mind of a pervert. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that meme. It's like, you know, the, you know, average Coco the Gorilla fan and, you know, average Ken Allen
enjoyer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we are on this X-Reader episode.
We're
Ken
Allen,
enjoyers.
We're not slackjaw milk brains fucking obsessed with Coco.
Well, I thought that was a good way to warm up for this episode. For our next little segment, this is something I'm going to read to you. After I read it to you, I'll send it to you so you can look at it. But, excuse me.
Cause of death. Wait a second. Cause of death, B-cell lymphoma. This guy died of cancer? This poor fucking Ken Allen?
Yeah.
Fucking known for escaping his enclosures repeatedly. What about known for, do lots of apes die of cancer?
I mean, probably if they live long enough.
Oh. Oh, poor Ken. I'm imagining him all just bald, walking around with his chemo IV.
Yeah, with his cane. Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
Okay, so, yeah, our next, our next segment is a, this is from Amazon. So we read something from Wikipedia. This next segment is from Amazon.
Oh boy.
I wanted to read the description for a book of poetry. Mm-hmm. It's a book of poetry called Sheep Machine.
Great.
Released in 2018, okay. Relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
The author is a woman by the name... She's a Vietnamese author. Her name is Vy Khi Nau. I believe that's the pronunciation. Not super important because that's not what we're focusing on, but Vy Khi Nau. I haven't read any of the poems, so we're not here to critique the actual poetry, but I wanted to read you the description. I should also note that the book itself has 5 stars on Amazon, although only 4 ratings. Okay. So that's something we might dive into a little bit later.
Yeah. Her mom, her husband, and her kid all rated it.
Yeah. The thing I want, I should preface this by saying that the reason I chose this was because, and you can tell me your take after I read it, but... And I'm going to read the whole thing all the, like in one take, and you can tell me afterwards.
Okay.
But the
so
reason
don't fucking
I chose
interrupt
this,
me, you worm.
Well, you'll see why in a second. Okay. The reason I chose this is because I think this description might be the single most pretentious thing I've ever read.
Ah, okay.
Do I sound good? Can you hear me?
Yep, you're right on cue here, buddy.
All right, great. Poetry. Asian and Asian American Studies. Film. Sheep Machine is a textual inscape, a poetically painted, non-fictional pasture where mechanical violence and visceral fear coalesce into a kind of science prosody, a post-human panorama whose beauty lies in the ruins of reality it depicts. Influenced by Leslie Thornton's film of sheep feeding in a field as a conveyor belt of cable cars ascend and return from a mountain in the Swiss Alps, Vy Khi Nau takes perception into tumultuous terrains, into a pastoral, celestial void in which temporality is transcended. Progress is a bourgeoisie invention, and God is a liability for our life spent in hunger and grazing. Vy Khi Nau's Sheep Machine is grace said at the ontological Last Supper.
Is that the whole thing?
That's it.
I'm afraid to talk.
All right.
Good Lord. You know, it's too bad because that sounds like it would have really appealed to like some Jordan Peterson enjoyers. But it's too bad they don't like non-whites. That sounds like a joke, honestly. I mean, I'm sure that it's not, and especially now you've sent it to me and I'm looking at the cover here. It seems very serious. What is this short film to referencing of sheep feeding in a field, a conveyor belt of cable cars, a center turn from mountain? There's like a joke version of something like that in the book Stephen King's It. There's a part when one of the characters is bitching about like the different people in like his college English class, and because one of them like wrote a story about like a sheep hanging out in a field like with an engine block, and that was like the whole thing. And said it had, you know, it's like they, it reminds me of something like that. I mean, I have no problem with like navel gazing, you know, art for art's sake, you know, type shit. But this is who wrote this?
Before, Vy Khi Nau.
Before who wrote this description? Before you started,
I have no idea.
I was gonna say like Michael's just gonna make fun of this description, but maybe it's just like English and you know, like, but no, no, it's just some overwritten poppycock. Thornton's film.
Yeah, I think that's the word for it. Poppycock.
Pastoral celestial void.
Yeah, do you like how she, the person who wrote this, needed to like make their own word, pastoral celestial, so they put a dash in between
them?
They
could just use two words, yeah. I mean,
it's
Michael,
just like...
I want you to tell me more, because I'm flummoxed. I can't even really start to make fun of this, because it doesn't mean anything. It's word salad.
Well, that's sort of why I chose it, because a lot of time when we read even the really dumb fan fictions, there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to, you know, let's look at this from a character's point of view. Let's talk about the author. What could this mean? What could this be about? This, there's nothing to unpack. It's just bullshit. That's all this is. And I know you might be like, oh, well, you know, like you said, art for the sake of art. Like, it doesn't always have to mean something. It just has to be pretty.
No, but
that's
they
not
clearly,
what this is.
These words mean things, just not the way they're being used.
Whoever wrote this, I don't know if it was Vy Khi Nau's agent or her publicist or whatever. Whoever wrote this wants us to think that this is fucking important. But I do not think it is.
Well.
Not at all.
I mean, Michael, maybe if we read Sheep Machine, this we would turn around and be like, oh my gosh, dude, it is exactly a post-human panorama whose beauty lies in the ruins of reality. And honestly, the pastoral celestialism of it is just a bourgeoisie invention. God, what a mix-up, what a blender. Someone
Do you
want
to go a little deeper?
I can tell you
a little bit more.
Okay, because yeah, I can see that there's like the infold like page is like on there. Yeah. So you got that? Okay. How did you find this, by the way?
Do you want the real answer? The real answer is that I had a dream one time about a machine that turned sheep inside out, and it was a really scary dream. And so I just Google searched sheep machine one time to see if I had like seen it somewhere, and this came up.
Wouldn't it just be that fucking Syriac video? Those are cows.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that is disturbing, but it's well intentioned.
Okay, all right, hit me with some author's note,
some background information about Viki. Now I should note that her author picture is black and white with her naked, so if that gives you more of an idea about who Viki now is,
I'll send it over.
If you were wondering if she really was pretentious, that should confirm it. But I did want to read some of these reviews. There's only four of them, so if you want, we can take some turns reading these reviews. Craig Carroll, 5 stars, verified purchase. He writes, "The only writer today. This is the only book I would take with me to Pasir Panjang on K. Kissel. I would use it to alight a Pelny voyage so long my tongue could carve an atavistic paddles and push towards the shore. Sheep Machine would be my companion in unbuilding everything down to that sand. Sheep Machine is the book I would give my unformed self to learn how to make love. Sheep Machine teaches you how to see the world again with fresh eyes, unburdened by the weight of time. Sheep Machine is a gift of endurance." So the people who are reading this are just as fucking pretentious as the book itself.
That feels so... It just doesn't even seem real. But, like, you know, I've read enough of, like, the top critics' fucking written reviews on, like, Rotten Tomatoes to know that it is.
Yeah. I want to you can read one of the other reviews. In fact, I recommend you read, just pick one that you like. Mm-hmm. But I do want to reiterate one of these lines. I want to, Sheep Machine would be my companion in unbuilding everything down to that sand. Sheep Machine is the book I would give my unformed self to learn to make love. That's fucking ridiculous.
I don't. Hey, kid. I'd go to the womb and fucking slip myself some R. Crumb comics. Just be like, look at this shit, kid. I'm done to drive you crazy.
You know what it makes me think of? There's this web comic I really like where there's this kid sitting in his bedroom and there's this big flash of light and an astronaut comes out of it and he looks at the kid and he says, like, you know, Billy, I'm you from the future. And the kid's like, oh boy, what do I become in the future? And then he locks the door and says, a pedophile. Oh God.
Let's read, we've got some Latin here. Let's read, Bay Laurel writes, fake name, writes,
oh no, that's her real name, I'm sure.
Ex Nihil. An odd series of fragments that give a new meaning to the term ekphrasis. What I most like about Sheep Machine is its creation of matter out of essentially nothing. Still frames from an experimental film spun into substance through literary alchemy. Well, fucking every book you ever read was fucking spun from nothing. That's how making shit works. What do you mean? I am stumped by ekphrasis. Ekphrasis.
What does it mean? Dictionary definition of ekphrasis is to use of detailed description of a work, visual art as a literary device.
Okay, so fucking, well, you know what? That's similar to fucking what this guy did up here with atavism, which means like return to monk, you know? Fucking like, and then he's like, you know, atavism for sure, sleep machine with a companion in unbuilding everything down to that sand. Fucking this bitch breaks out the ekphrasis and then just basically machine in its creation out of essentially still spun, you know, out of the experimental film. She just uses the word and then just fucking repeats herself by saying what it means, you know? Come on, lady. You're going to use a big word like that? Let it stand on its own. Let us figure it out, you know?
I'll read the final review. I thought there were four. There's four ratings, only three reviews. So I'll just read the final one. All these reviews are from 2018, so I guess the sales of Sheep Machine stagnated after its release.
Well, after fucking V-Key Now fucking made her class all buy her book, they all fucking, you know, and got fucking 5% extra credit fucking on one assignment for fucking leaving a good review, you know?
Yeah, none of these profiles have fucking profile pictures. Johnny says, Magnificentia, captivating in its artistic imagery and complexity. Every sentence will challenge you to ask a new question upon the previous question you thought you answered. But before reading, I recommend learning about Leslie Thornton, an avant-garde filmmaker and artist. It helps put this book in perspective, as it's influenced by one of her films. So he's referencing the sheep grazing film.
Yeah, and so did the other person. So maybe I really just need to watch this film. You know,
yeah, maybe it'll really
to fully understand,
really put things in perspective for you.
I'm just reading. Now I've gone over to Bay Laurel's profile, and all they review is books. So like, there's like 16 reviews or so. They're all written in those same prose. So I guess they are a real person. They're just a really fucking pretentious person who likes to read a bunch of garbage new age stuff. I mean, I love like artsy fartsy bullshit, but like when it's, you know, when it's humanistic, you know, this is like the most like sterile fucking like version of like enjoyment of art I can imagine. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it was written by someone who has forgotten how to smile.
Yeah.
Craig right. Carroll, the other pretentious reviewer, he also appears to be a big book fan. He left another 5-star review March of last year, and I'm going to read the review for you really quick. It's for a book called The Ice Cream Man and Other Stories.
Oh.
And his review says, "Then he washes the dishes," and that's it. And three people found it helpful. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I've listened to a lot of The Moth Storytelling Hours, so I have high tolerance for this shit, but you gotta be able to laugh at it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, that's why I brought it here. I think we're coming up on where we want to draw to a close, because I think I wanted to do a shorter episode, but
this one's jam-packed, so.
Yeah, this next segment is for you. I'll send it over.
Oh.
And I'm not going to give you any
work. It's going to be work.
Any context. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you any context. I'm just going to say, here it is. Read it.
Okay.
In its entirety. Well, yeah, I mean, you can take breaks to make comments and stuff, but
I mean, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm not your boss, okay? Just
yeah, yeah. But verbatim. I can't stress that enough. All right, here we go.
I'm waiting.
All right, and there it is. Whenever you're ready, Jordan.
An early example of European use of this procedure was described in 1686 by Thomas Sydenham, who, to cure iliac passion,
I'm not sure what that is.
Prescribed first bleeding, followed by a tobacco smoke enema. Michael, is this a Wikipedia page for the etymology of blowing smoke up your ass? Here, therefore, I conceive it most proper to bleed first in the arm, and an hour or two afterwards to throw up a strong purging glyster. And I know of none so strong and effectual as the smoke of tobacco, forced up through a large bladder into the bowels by an inverted pipe, which may be repeated after a short interval, if the former, by giving a stool, does not open a passage downwards. however, emulating... Oh, that's a quote from Thomas Sydenham. However, emulating the Catawba, 19th century Danish farmers reportedly used these enemas for constipated horses. Oh my god, you've already nailed fucking pieces of metal into their feet and ride around on them and make them drag shit around. Now you're blowing tobacco smoke up their ass?
Well, they're constipated. What else would you do?
I don't know. Fucking get them some better hay. Jeez, I'd feel so sick when you're a kid and they let you puff the cigar and they say don't breathe it in and you do anyway because you're just like ooh, but I want to feel it, and then you just feel sick, like you want to throw up. That happened to me at a horse race when I was a kid.
Yeah, then you take a big shit.
You know, fucking yeah, these horses just take a big shit. That sounds awful. Can you imagine the fucking the horrible head rush you'd have? I mean, maybe
you have
it feels
an ass rush.
Yeah, I mean that's the intended effect, apparently. But maybe it doesn't feel as bad as having iliac poisoning, sir, or iliac passion.
Yeah, iliac passion is, I don't know what it is, but if it's worse than having tobacco smoke blown up your ass via a large bladder, then I don't know what it is.
Oh,
it must be
so
fucking
horrible.
Terrible.
Just fucking farting out, just fucking clouds, and your ass is coughing. Iliac passion. Ileus is a partial or complete non-mechanical blockage of the small and or large intestine. So it just means constipation. It's just like a polite, like Elizabethan word for fucking for constipation. Great. It's like a Victorian era, like my ass is stuffed.
Yeah. I like how you said that the first time that happened to you was at a horse race, because I feel like that brings us full circle.
Well, that's why they had the pipes there. I thought it was shaped strangely. I mean, it was an inverted pipe that they put the cigar into.
It was underneath a horse when I sucked into it. So
the apparatus did vaguely resemble a bladder. I mean,
yeah.
And they did pull my pants down.
Yeah, I did have to disconnect it from a fucking horse before I put my lips around it. But yeah.
All right. Well, we can move off that. I just was very curious about what the fucking iliac passion was. I like that a lot. They're just like, that is so like Victorian, just like, oh, the passion of the bowels, you know, not giving way to the poop.
Yeah. Well, it also, you know, you say get better hay, but like when your diet is 100% fiber and you're still constipated, something's gone awry.
Well, they're mixing it with all sorts of,
no pun intended,
what, you know, they're feeding them all sorts of garbage. I mean, who really knows what to feed a horse, you know? Does anybody? You just leave them outside and they do okay.
You is lock that how you think it works?
Yeah, when you lock them up and you start throwing garbage in the trough, you know, they're just, I mean, look, and these horses may have been constipated. This was like the late 1600s, you know, like
they were constipated before I got there, Jordan, all right? I don't want you throwing me under the bus.
I was just going to say that maybe, you know, that the river they were drinking from was, you know, tainted with gear grease or something, you know?
Yeah.
These were like,
they were washing out their giant comical gears from the factory in the river.
Exactly. And the horses were drinking it up and it was upsetting their poor little tum-tums. You know, they were drinking up their little, you know, eating old pork pie hats and dismembered, you know, limbs of children and, you know, filthy newspapers. I mean, what do you feed a horse, really? This is what I'm talking about.
You feed them filthy newspapers and dismembered child limbs.
Whatever is coming down the Thames, okay? That's what the horses get. I'm imagining that this was in England. I mean, where else?
I don't be so sure.
Where else would
Thomas Sydenham practice? I'll look that up. Let's learn about Thomas.
So wait, what was the Wikipedia page? Was it for Was it the disambiguation for like blowing smoke? Or what
No,
is this?
It was just a page all about tobacco smoke enemas.
Oh, well, you know, that's the good for them. I mean, my mom did coffee enemas. That also sounds horrible. I really think I don't want to put anything up my ass.
Well, your
ass
mom did hot coffee enemas.
I mean, yeah, I don't think they were cold. I don't think they were hot either. I think they was warm. You know?
They were hot.
It was so fucking hot, dude. Dude, I fucking But, like, I mean, put something up my ass if it's going to make me feel better, you know? I mean, if you told me the miracle cure to life was putting something up your butt, I mean, look, God put the cum button up there, you know? So fucking who knows what other mysteries the ass beholds, you know? I'm not saying I have any problem with playing with the ass. It's just, like, I don't want, like, chemicals up my butt, you know, that are going to get me high, essentially, you know? Like, I already drink a cup of coffee, and then I'm like, did I drink too much? I don't want to have too much energy. I don't want the jitters, you know? Putting it up my ass? You completely take that control, you know, out of your hands and... And well, you know where you put it.
There's a on Thomas Sydenham's Wikipedia
was this his
page,
passion? Did he win awards in this in the field?
It's not even
of smoke
from what
ass?
I can tell, it's not even mentioned on his page.
Thomas Sydenham, and then in parentheticals, smoke ass. That's what they call
there
him.
There is a segment of it that is quotations and attributions. I'd like to read you one of his quotations.
Yes, please.
there's no context to this. It's just a quotation. It says, the arrival of a good clown exercises a more beneficial influence on the health of a town than of 20 asses laden with drugs.
So, I like that. Was, you don't need drugs, kids. You just go to the circus.
Yeah, he's saying, that's laughter is the best medicine. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, you don't need to fill your ass with drugs. Although, you know, look. He's contradicting himself there a little bit, though.
Yeah.
I know he's talking about donkeys. I just, it's a joke. Just a little joke.
Here's another quote. Of all the remedies it has pleased Almighty God to give man to relieve his suffering, none is so universal and efficacious as opium.
Wait a second. He was just saying to just fucking cheer up and take a walk. And now, you know, see a clown. Now he's saying, but if you got access to heroin.
Yeah. He's like, listen, if the tobacco smoke doesn't work, you're going to want to go to the circus. And if the circus doesn't work, just smoke some opium. That'll cure you right up.
That'll definitely work. I haven't had a single patient that it doesn't work for.
Yeah. They've either died or felt better. And there's no in between. And sometimes both.
This guy's a regular Patch Adams. I remember the scene where he's just fucking passing pills over to the kids. When they, you know, he tries for a couple minutes, and if they don't start a hooting and hollering, he just fucking, you know, slips them over some fucking opes.
If you'd like, I can read you one more Thomas Sydenham quote to close us out.
Yeah, give me another attribution.
All right. This one's a couple sentences, but it's still doable. For humble individuals like myself, there is one poor comfort, which is this, viz. That gout, unlike any other disease, kills more rich men than poor, more wise men than simple. Great kings, emperors, generals, admirals, and philosophers have all died of gout. Hereby, nature shows her impartiality, since those whom she favors in one way, she afflicts in another. A mixture of good and evil, preeminently adapted to our frail mortality. So what he's saying is that...
Yeah, I get what he's saying. Look, you can't be on top forever, all right? Yeah. Fucking even those blessed by God with riches and splendor.
And wisdom.
Yeah, so smart, so wise. Oh, yeah. They got the gout. How do you get gout? Is it like fucking like a lack of some fucking nutrient that only poor people eat?
Pain and inflammation, too much uric acid crystallizes in the joints. Yeah, but that's what it is, not what causes it.
They're just eating too much good meat. They're eating like liver. They're eating a bunch of stuffed livers.
It's just if you eat too much red meat, alcohol, and beer.
Yeah, so they're just fucking living it up. That's what it is. Alright, I thought it was going to be like a goiter thing or whatever. It's like they didn't have enough salt. No. It's just fucking...
Far from it.
Just fucking... Well, he's thinking much more nicely of the ultra-wealthy than I am.
Yeah. So, Jordan, what did you think of our second variety episode?
I thought it was excellent. I think this, you know, I think this went really, really well. You know, it doesn't always have to be about the X reading on X reader.
Yeah.
You know? That's I'm happy with all of the story. I feel like I learned something, you know, which, look, I feel like I experience many things when we read, when we read fucking what we read. The words are escaping me, you know, fan fiction. When we read fan fiction. Thank you. But I don't feel like I usually learn much. So,
oh yeah. Well, you gotta do more reflecting then.
I learn a lot about the human, about the self, you know, about the human condition. But you know, I don't, you know, I'm not. These are straight up facts. FAX,
yeah, you
wanna Michael.
Be knowledge. You want to learn some big capital F, capital A, capital C, T, S.
Yeah, I got fucking Ken Allen, the fucking lymphatic fucking orangutan. We got fucking Thomas Sydenham with the blowing of the smoke up the ass. Couldn't that give you like an embolism to just blow smoke up your butt? Could that like
cause
problems?
Well, what I was wondering is, maybe we shouldn't have thrown this treatment away. Maybe Ken Allen would still be with us if we had blown smoke up his ass.
yeah, if we could have saved him, dude. We could have distracted
he could still
the cancer.
Be escaping.
We could have distracted the cancer in his bones by giving it to his fucking ass.
he could still be escaping as we speak if we had just given him a tobacco smoke enema.
Yeah, I guarantee you people are still doing it to this day. In fact, in the area we live in, it's not as bad as somewhere like LA, maybe, but like I bet you fucking someone's doing it here now. Even like
right
during
now.
The pandemic. Yeah, someone's having it done at this very moment.
We didn't say it, but we're both imagining that the tool you use to blow the smoke is one of those fireplace.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, I couldn't imagine anything else. I knew the second he started talking, I was like, yeah, one of those fucking like accordion style, like fucking, like these fire stokers. Yeah, a bellows. Yeah,
a bellows. Thomas Sydenham was sitting in his fucking log cabin waxing poetic about how humble he is when he caught out of the corner of his eye one of those leaned up against his wall and he goes, I wonder.
Yeah. Because his pipe broke and he was trying to fucking figure out how the hell he was going to get some nicotine in him. And
his wife,
he saw the bellows and was like, oh, but I can't, like, my arms, like, I can't, like, smoke it at the same time, you know? It's too hard. So
someone else needs to be pumping it.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little limited right now. I'm just going to have to use a Capri Sun packet.
Oh, God. Such a sharp entrance. I think this is a good episode. Normally, I would ask you what your favorite was, but I think this is a good episode in that I think each one of them brings something different to the table, and we can walk away just knowing that we've grown as people.
Yeah. How can you ask me something like that? You didn't, but hypothetically, how could you? You know?
Hypothetically, I didn't. No. Well, you know, you can find the rest of the X-Reader episodes at discussking.com, and you click on the X-Reader tab to see all of our episodes, and you can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And next time we'll be reading a fan fiction proper, and you'll just have to tune in to see what that's all about. But if you like what you heard, definitely check out the Coco the Gorilla episode.
Yeah. From the beginning of our second season. Fucking excellent show. Good job to you, Michael. I'm giving you a little claps. I'm clapping for myself because you folks at home might not know this, but Michael is just an absolute taskmaster. He never compliments my work. And so,
we
you know.
This in the previous episode, I think.
that's code for you're going to get a beating.
Yeah, watch your tone.
King of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I wanna be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of walking around, oh. Like me, you can do it, can it like me? 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 You can do it, can it like me?
Michael, in our chat back here, there's a picture of a bunch of naked men you sent me forever ago. I don't think you ever told me what it was from. Is that going to stay a mystery?
I think it should.
Okay.